All right, this video is going to contain a lot of tragic events caused directly by Elon Musk and Donald Trump. So a quick trigger warning if that's not something you want to hear about right now, but I still think it's important. This reads, the children died one after the other. 12 acutely malnourished infants living in one corner of Sudan's war-ravaged capital, Khartoum. Abdo, an 18-month boy, had been rushed to a clinic by his mother as he was dying. His ribs protruded from his withered body. The next day, a doctor laid him out on a blanket with a teddy bear motif, his eyes closed. Like the other 11 children, Abdo starved to death in the weeks after President Trump froze all U.S. foreign assistance, said local aid workers and a doctor. American-funded soup kitchens in Sudan, including the one near Abdo's house, had been the only lifelines for tens of thousands of people besieged by fighting. And can I just remind you, this was a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of taxpayer dollars. It was like 0.04%. That is what Elon Musk decided to target. Instead of going for the military, going for his own contracts, which far outweigh what we spend on USAID, they target this. Like the 11 other children, Abdo starved to death in the weeks after President Trump froze all U.S. foreign assistance, said local aid workers and a doctor. American-funded soup kitchens in Sudan were the lifelines for tens of thousands. Bombs were falling. Gunfire was everywhere. Then, as the American money dried up, hundreds of soup kitchens closed in a matter of days. Quote, it was catastrophic, said Dua Tariq, an aid worker. The stark consequences of Mr. Trump's slashing of U.S. aid are evident in few places as clearly as Sudan, where a brutal civil war has set off a staggering humanitarian catastrophe, and led 25 million people, more than half of the country's population, acutely hungry. And call me a soft liberal, but I think American soft power abroad is totally worth it, not only for the humanitarian aspect, which of course is incredibly important, don't get me wrong, but also just because of the fact that we're filling a vacuum that other countries will now step into. When China and North Korea or other countries begin to provide assistance, then they fill the vacuum and they become a leader. Now, here are some incredibly sad photos. And there's more to this article, but before I continue, let me just tell you, Elon Musk and Doge, while causing deaths across the globe, are just being goons. They're like a roving band of degenerate teenagers walking around firing people. Elon's Doge goons are dragging people out of their jobs. This says, Doge goon accused of screaming at federal workers on 36-hour shift. And I want to really quickly break this down because as Elon Musk and Doge are overstepping, as Donald Trump is hoping that American citizens will withstand the pain of his tariffs, his approval rating is rapidly dropping. This says, President Donald Trump's approval rating continues to slide, according to surveys from the United States' most accurate polling company. His approval rating is now down to 46%. Way, way too high. We're going to get it down to 38%. Right now, liberal, progressive, left-leaning media, everyone in this bubble, we are growing way faster than MAGA media by every single metric. This chart right here shows the fastest growing political and political adjacent channels by net new subscribers. This chart shows the fastest growing political YouTubers by subscribers gained in Q1. And look at this. Adam Mockler, the channel that we built together, is growing faster than Megyn Kelly, Charlie Kirk, Tucker Carlson, and Benny Johnson. So make sure you drop a like and make sure you subscribe if you want to help beat Fox News in this next round in Q2. But to continue with the story, before we go on with Sudan, let me show you this. Quote, in the past week, she'll open the tin where the medicine is kept and find that it's empty, says Teresa. This is detailing the experience of people in foreign countries with HIV who have now been cut off from assistance. And here's the reality of it. People are going to find this unpopular, but foreign aid is boring. You don't see how it affects your life on a day-to-day basis in the same way that gas prices affect your life on a day-to-day basis. But foreign aid doesn't have to be popular. It's abstract, it's distant, it doesn't win elections. But what many Americans fail to realize, what many conservatives fail to realize, is that America first means foreign aid. Gutting foreign assistance doesn't just harm fragile nations, it exposes the U.S. It makes the world less stable, less violent, more contagious, more dangerous. Viruses spread easily. I mean, do we want HIV spreading in many other countries? That will eventually get to our doorstep. So the United States doesn't fund soup kitchens in Sudan out of pure charity because a bunch of liberals in the government decided to. It does so because hunger, disease, and war don't stay contained. When food systems collapse, even in other countries, people migrate away. And when governments fall, when governments fail, extremism spreads. So if we can exercise a little bit of soft power and get goodwill or leverage by stabilizing nations before a military has to, then that safety net will eventually be reciprocated in an ideal world. We've seen this time and time again, where we help spawn a liberal democracy, or at least slightly help them, and in the long term, it pays off. So when Elon Musk and Donald Trump claim that USAID is complete fraud and waste and gutted entirely, what they're really doing is basically inviting another global crisis that they'll be woefully underprepared for. And if I want to be as charitable as possible, listen, if I want to be charitable, there is a reality where you go to the head of each department in USAID or each country and you say, give me an itemized report of everything you've spent money on over the past decade, over the Biden and the Trump administration, and we are going to have an apolitical committee go through this with external oversight on camera in one long session and figure out what we need to cut. Instead, we got Elon Musk manic tweeting and this caused death. Okay, so to continue, in the past week, she'll open the tin where the HIV medicine is contained and find that it's empty, says Teresa. Quote, she'll run down to the clinic to go and check if she can collect her medication, and she'll come back home and say, oh, you are right, the clinic is closed, they're not there anymore. And it seems like their US-funded clinic is not coming back. The doors of the clinic, which services over 2,000 HIV patients, have been locked since the end of January. The staff let go and the furniture largely removed. This clinic didn't just provide medication, it provided basic food, since HIV medicine cannot be taken on an empty stomach. Teresa and Darkus lost both. So far, without their medication, Teresa feels okay, but Dorcas has developed a fever and chills, and she feels weak. Flu-like symptoms are often one of the first symptoms after someone goes off HIV treatment, and the level of virus rises, and now it will become incredibly dangerous. To go back to this article about Sudan, Sudan's civil war is now in its third year. Last year, the United States gave $830 million in emergency aid, helping 4.4 million Sudanese, the United Nations estimates. 4.4 million Sudanese for $830 million, I will take that return on investment any day. And don't get me wrong, I don't think the US should just be a charity to other countries. That is not what this is. It has to be strategic. Should we give them $830 million with no oversight to do whatever the hell they want? Of course not. Why would I ever make that argument? I'm a strategic person. I think that we should be strategic and try to uplift the people of Sudan while they're going through this crisis and someday hope that their stability brings us more stability. That when we share that safety net, that people will reciprocate. Because when we shred that safety net rather than sharing, we leave millions to starve and wait until the crisis metastasizes, until it's too big to ignore and too late to contain, like COVID, which very quickly became far more expensive to fix than if we just had fixed the problem before it happened. So it's not even just about Sudan. It's also about the Trump admin pulling emergency food assistance from a bunch of countries, the Trump admin gutting all of these preventative measures when it comes to diseases, when it comes to helping out poor countries or countries that are in need, right? Many of these countries are teetering on the edge, and it's not efficient to abandon them. Abandoning them causes an inefficiency in the long term and hurts the US on the global stage. Within days, over 300 soup kitchens run by the ERR, the Emergency Response Rooms, which is a network of democracy activists, were forced to close. Oh, wow. I mean, I know people make the argument that America, that this white-ass country should not be spreading our ideals abroad because it is a form of white supremacy to spread our ideas. But I'm going to take the position that I do think it's good when we have soup kitchens and a network of democracy activists that are volunteering to spread pro-democracy messages. But I'll leave it at that. Drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you all in the next video. Make sure you subscribe to help us beat Fox News and Q2. Peace out.